This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We had a story last week about a town in Louisiana that's been raising most of its historic buildings, literally raising them higher because of the rising season flooding that are coming with climate change. Millions of buildings in coastal areas and river areas around the country are going to need to be handled like this. And that is a business opportunity for a growing industry of house lifters. Marketplace's Amy Scott, the host of our climate podcast, How We Survive, set about finding out how one goes about lifting a house.
On a dead-end street in Slidell, Louisiana, near New Orleans, a little house is about to get a big lift from ground level to more than 8 feet up. This was back in July. Half a dozen workers, drenched in sweat and covered in mud, have tunneled under the house, set up piles of wood blocks or cribbing, picture a giant game of Jenga, along with 38 hydraulic jacks. The men crawl in and out, making small adjustments, while a supervisor eyes dozens of gauges.
He's adjusting all the pressures on each hydraulic cylinder individually, so that way when we lift the house, it guarantees it lifts at a constant rate.
Jason Soto is head of marketing at Davy Shoring. The company specializes in elevating houses in the flood-prone Gulf Coast region. And lately, it's been busy.
We have 18 in the city of Slidell alone and probably about 25 in the surrounding areas as well.
Slidell is on Lake Pontchartrain and can flood when storms push water from the Gulf into the lake and surrounding bayous.
When the hurricanes come, we're on the north side of the lake. The winds push everything to us first, so we get a massive storm surge every single time.
The house will be lifted in stages, about 8 inches at a time. After each lift,
they will build this crib pile up to where they can put the jack up higher, and then they will repeat the process. It takes about 2 hours, anywhere from an hour to 2 hours between each lift, depending on the size of the house.
While we wait for the first lift, the house's owner pulls up in her car to watch the progress. Tracy Perry, a hairdresser, bought the house in 2006 for just under $98,000 after it had been damaged by Hurricane Katrina. Then, 6 years later,
Isaac came in over the baseboards just long enough to get it nice and
wet,
moist, and then it rolled out.
When the house goes up, she's looking forward to her flood insurance going down. She pays about $2,000 a year.
And I have it's a 1,000-square-foot house. It's tiny.
Yeah.
Lifting this tiny house will cost more than $100,000. A grant from FEMA will cover 90%, leaving just over $10,000 out of pocket. But long term,
I think the value, being on this dead end, she'll shine like a star.
You might think the hoisting would be rough on a house, but not if it goes well. Perry took her pictures off the wall, but left everything else pretty much as is. She'll check into a nearby hotel for a couple nights.
I'm actually looking forward to staying in the hotel. They have a hot tub and a pool, so it's like a mini vacation.
The whole process, from applying for the grant to receiving it and then getting on Davy Shoring's schedule, has taken about 4 years. And now Perry will have to wait a bit longer. While we're talking, Soto comes over with some bad news.
So it's going to be a little while.
He says there's an addition on the back that flexed when they started to lift the house.
We have to do additional tunneling under the addition. They want to put a couple more support jacks underneath the addition in the back for the lift.
In the end, Perry spent 4 nights away from the house. But when I called her up recently, she was happy with the result.
I love it. I just tell everybody in the neighborhood, I'm the queen. I'll let them know if something's coming.
From her perch above her neighbors, she'll be able to see an incoming storm first. She has discovered one downside of elevated living, though. In the fall, she broke her ankle and had to negotiate the 18 steps to her front door. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.